Have you tried to buy a car lately and thought to yourself, there's gotta be a better way? Guess what? There is. Don't put yourself through the agony. There's a new way to buy a car, and it's called TrueCar.com. At TrueCar.com, you can actually see what others paid for the car you're looking to buy in your area, so you know when you're getting a great price. At TrueCar.com, you get a savings certificate. Take it to a TrueCar certified dealer, and you won't need to worry about the hassle and anxiety that comes with the old way of buying a vehicle. TrueCar users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP, an average. If you're ready to buy a car, why wouldn't you go to TrueCar.com right now? Negotiation-free, guaranteed savings, a hassle-free experience, and a true car certified dealer that is committed to a new and better way to buy a car. Save time, save money, never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildenbrand here, Dan Rubenstein right on over there. SolidVerbal at gmail.com, still the email. Find us on Facebook, on FanCred. And, of course, on the Twitter, he's back. He's better than ever. He's certainly not as sick as he was last time we spoke. Hello, Mr. Rubenstein. How are you?
I'm good, Mr. Hildenbrand. How about yourself?
I'm doing quite well. We've got an email show in front of us this evening.
I'm very excited. It's an email show. It's a Facebook show. It might be a little bit of a Twitter show. We have a special guest.
Yes.
We have college football news to talk about. I'm very excited to delve deep and really get to the bottom of some college football, some non-college football, some life questions. We're nothing if not the friends of people.
We should send a big shout out to our winners of the Solid Verbal Bracket Pool. Now, we didn't talk a whole lot about this, Dan.
No.
But, of course, as we do every year, we had a Solid Verbal Bracket Pool. We do owe a few folks some prizes. Our winner this year goes by ToothDoc1128.
Yes! I don't know what that means. I assume we have a dental winner in our midst.
He was, as best I could tell, one of only a handful of people to get any of the Final Four games correct. He picked Kentucky. He won by an astounding 120 points. Good for him.
Wow.
We've got someone here named Buckos, who came in second, a full 120 points behind. And then Anuber, A-N-U-B-E-R-4-9, was your third place winner. A tough bracket for everybody, of course, because of all the upsets. But congratulations to the Tooth Doc, who takes home, I guess, a T-shirt of his or her choosing.
Absolutely, he does. He or she gets that maybe it's a halter top.
Yeah.
Maybe I know our company that does this will print it on different things. So we'll go with t-shirts, and you can make the adjustments as you see fit. If you want to show a little bit of navel, you want to cut the sleeves off and show some guns in the office.
Yeah, why not? It's springtime.
Take every and all liberty with this shirt. But yes, congratulations to Tooth Doc. I did terribly.
I was terrible. I don't even know where I finished.
My bracket did poorly, but congratulations to the UConn Huskies.
Yeah.
On winning the national championship. That's all I have to say about that.
Pretty much the same here. Let's get into some college football news, shall we?
We shall.
Let's go down to South Florida. Dade County, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Coral Gables, Florida, the University of Miami.
Yeah.
Ryan Williams, their presumed starting quarterback, the transfer from Memphis. He broke a bunch of records in high school, was the next great hype.
Local to Miami.
Broke a bunch of records in his state championship run a couple years back. He has now torn his ACL.
Mm-hmm.
He is out for the foreseeable future. A big blow for Miami. Of course, Stephen Morris was the starting quarterback last year. Had a better season, but still Ryan Williams coming in was expected to be like the next great thing. And now all of a sudden they find themselves in a bit of turmoil now, Dan. He's not going to be the starting quarterback because he has no knee.
No, he has no knee available to him. And obviously Miami, with the new offensive coordinator and James Coley, who comes over from Florida State, will have to choose essentially Kevin Olsen, a pretty well-regarded, I believe he's an underclassman, but was an Elite 11 guy, the younger brother of Greg Olsen, of course, the NFL tight end from, I want to say he's from the Northeast somewhere, maybe New Jersey. So he appears to be the favorite to take over the job. They've got a pretty well-regarded true freshman coming in, but he won't be in until the summer slash fall camp. So it's a pretty big deal when you consider what Miami's bringing back on offense if Duke Johnson's able to get healthy, and certainly a setback. And, you know, I don't know how much you can downgrade Miami because it didn't happen the third week of the season or the week before the season started. So they have time to adjust. But, yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, you don't like to see that. And we just talked to Chip Patterson about Miami and what's it going to take for them to get consistently in that top 20, top 15. You hear news like this about Ryan Williams, it's not good stuff. So
no, not at all. But there's time. There's plenty of time.
I mean,
the offense is probably going to have to be a little bit more vanilla than initially anticipated. But if James Coley is a good offensive coordinator, he will be able to find a way to make it interesting.
All right, let's go to Columbia, Missouri. Dorial Green Beckham, the once highly regarded wide receiver, still highly regarded wide receiver, but he's had his share of ups and downs with the Missouri Tigers. He has now been suspended indefinitely, Dan. This is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it affects the passing game for the Missouri Tigers. Yep. What exactly is going on now with DGB? Are we going to see him at all?
I assume we will. It's one of those things where you have to wait and see exactly what happens. I don't believe he was arrested, but there appear to be reports of some sort of fracas.
Yeah.
And that's never a good thing, especially with Mizzou coming off the year they came off and losing what they lose on the defensive side of the ball. And they lose, of course, casual dress, James Franklin.
Of course.
And one of our favorite run. I mean, Henry Josie's gone. So
yeah,
losing a weapon like DGB for any time would be pretty catastrophic for that offense. So hopefully the fracas was overstated and he is brought back. And all is well with Missouri and nobody is wounded or in any trouble. But yeah, that would certainly be a setback to the prospects of Missouri repeating in the SEC East.
It has been a rough spring for some teams. Here's another report of a guy going down, not to the extent of a Ryan Williams per se.
Right.
But Clemson's blue chip freshman quarterback, Deshaun Watson, shut down for spring. Now, this is a big deal, of course. We know that Taj Boyd is no longer at Clemson.
Right.
Deshaun Watson, I don't know how much he planned to factor in. However, he's got a cracked collarbone. That's not good. Mm-hmm. Clemson needs to have all hands on deck offensively if they want to be able to produce the way they did in years past. So this is something certainly to keep an eye on just because it is a big name and it's at a very prominent position.
Yeah, and the prospect of the number one dual threat recruit true freshman coming in and pairing with Chad Morris and getting to work all through the spring and getting all those spring reps. Obviously, he enrolled early to do so. And him going out certainly isn't the greatest thing. They have Cole Stout, who's an upperclassman.
Sure.
And Chad Kelly, who is another Elite 11 guy. So they have arms, but Deshaun Watson appeared to be the most tantalizing option. Whether or not he was ACC ready or would be ACC ready is another question. But certainly, I assume that offense would have loved to see what Deshaun Watson could have done all through the spring. But it appears to be not the most serious injury in the world and should be fine for summer workouts and fall camp.
Another injury. Starting Alabama cornerback Eddie Jackson.
Yeah.
Another torn ACL.
It is a maligned position for Alabama last year.
I was just going to say, they had some difficulty in the secondary last year. Perhaps it wasn't until later in the season when it really manifested itself so we all could see.
Right.
However, we are splitting hairs with Alabama. Alabama always has talent.
Right.
But the fact that it was at a position where they were a little bit thin last season is certainly newsworthy. I don't know if it's more newsworthy than, you know, A.J. McCarron and Catherine Webb getting married on reality television.
Right.
But this is an injury of a different kind and certainly worth
it. If you're going to have a starting corner go down with a torn ACL in the SEC, this would be the year. There are no court. It's Nick Marshall, Matty Mock, and who's there? I don't know. Nobody's there beyond them, really, that proven. I mean, I like Dylan Thompson, but he hasn't shown anything over the course of an entire season yet.
And I don't know if Alabama's playing South Carolina. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But the big concern would be that Alabama's also working in replacements for Vinny Sunseri and Ha Ha Clinton Dix. So it is a time of turnover for Alabama defensive backs. Geno Smith is in at safety now. Landon Collins, of course, is back. They've got 2 5-star freshmen coming in. But Eddie Jackson, after his freshman year, a much more positive than otherwise freshman year, going down certainly is not ideal.
Let's move to the Michigan spring game, shall we? I say spring game in air quotes because it was really more of an open practice.
An enhanced scrimmage, yeah.
Right. I read to you from an Andy Staples article on SI.com.
Yeah.
He presents two interesting theories about what happened at this Michigan spring game.
Okay.
One is that the defense, specifically the defensive line, is maybe one of the best we've ever seen, certainly an improvement from last season's already improved Michigan front.
Been fairly decent since Greg Madison arrived, yeah.
The second theory is that the offensive line, of course, there's much turnover along that line.
Mm-hmm.
The theory is that they can't block for anything.
I think that's probably more accurate.
Here is the way Andy phrases it. He says, maybe Michigan's front seven is poised for a banner year. The Wolverines allowed 3.8 yards per carry last season, so a slight improvement would suggest that Michigan could be stingy against the run, no matter the opponent. In the next paragraph, though, he says, but Michigan's offensive line, an inexperienced group in a state of flux as coaches attempt to determine the correct positions for each player, struggled to block Wolverine defenders in both the run game and the pass game. The major takeaway, either the O-line must dramatically improve between now and September, or everyone in Ann Arbor needs to hope Michigan's defense is suddenly on the level of Michigan State's or Florida State's. The likely of the two scenarios would appear to be the latter, that the offensive line is in a great state of flux, Dan.
Yeah, they got to get better real quick. They've got a very good potential running back in Derek Green, big power back, who was like the number one back in the country coming out of high school last year. Down Jeremy Gallen, down Taylor Lewan and Schofield on the line, down Fitz Toussaint, Devin Gardner coming off of injury, Shane Morris with potential. If he steps in and wins the quarterback battle, he certainly had a better day, if that means anything, against the Michigan defense. There is some budding talent. You like Devin Funchess, you like Freddie Canteen?
Yeah.
Great name. Great name. So there is talent to be had on the offensive side of the ball, but if they can't average 3.5-4 yards a rush on offense in the Big Ten with highly regarded offensive linemen and playing that sort of much more power system that Brady Hoke wants to play, even though they bring in an offensive coordinator in Doug Nussmeier, who has a track record of opening things up a bit if you look at his time at Washington and some of what he did at Alabama, it's going to be a long-ass year for Michigan.
Something to keep your eye on. And one other thing, we'd be remiss if we did not mention the old silver fox, Mark Emmert. It's been a rough go for Mark
Emmert. I'm uncomfortable with you calling him the silver fox, by the way. I want to be on the record.
Has it not been a rough go for Mark Emmert so far? I remember when he was ushered in.
Yeah.
And there was some excitement. There were articles written about he's forward-thinking.
I think he has been a little bit.
And I don't want to take anything away from any forward thinking that may have gone on during his tenure.
Right.
However, it's been a rough go for Mark Emmert. There's been a lot of stuff go down.
Yep.
That has certainly given him a bad name. He's got Franco Harris chasing him through airports. Mark Emmert said Sunday, unionizing students is, quote, a ridiculous idea to solve the problems of intercollegiate athletics. A ridiculous idea, Daniel.
Yeah.
Quote, it would blow up everything about the collegiate model of athletics. There are some people who think that this might be fine. I don't think that represents the views of anybody up here right now. Well, it may not, Mark.
Right.
You're going to hear more about it.
Without having any sort of degree or background in labor law, I can't speak too detailed about this. But yes, of course, he's going to be against the unionization. And the smart things that he is saying is that obviously, the NCAA needs to make changes to the model as it exists now. The most important thing to realize is that Mark Emmert speaks on behalf of college presidents of big and small schools alike. And I would underline the word small, because those would be the ones that would probably have to realign and rejigger their business models. And yes, it is very much a business. Should some sort of compensation plan be put in place, whether that's unionization, whether it's any other model, one must realize that Mark Emmert is many things, but that includes being a mouthpiece for a number of schools that represent a number of committees that the NCAA contains within.
That just about does it for our off-season news, at least at this point in early to mid-April. Six news stories here for you today on the Solid Verbal. Let's get right into it.
How much did people have to pay for those stories and the analysis following thereof? $0.
Let's get into our Facebook show, Dan. We solicited comments out on the Facebooks. Give me a line from The Social Network. I know that's one of your favorite movies.
You know, what's cooler than $1 million? $1 billion.
That's
drop
right.
the just Facebook.
Well, we solicited comments, questions, what have you, out there on the interwebs. Again, it's facebook.com/solidverbal. We've got a bunch before us here today. We'll get to those momentarily. Before we do, though, we've got a new Hulu Plus script for all y'all. You have probably tried Hulu on your computer before. As you know, Hulu Plus, so much more. You can watch current season episodes of all your favorite shows like Modern Family, The Daily Show, Scandal, Nashville, Lost, Doctor Who.
He is infringing upon something, that Hugh.
You also get ad-free movies and kids' shows as well. Now more than ever, there's so much to watch. Take total control with Hulu Plus to stream these shows and thousands more as much as you want, whenever you want. Hulu Plus will work on your computer, on your smart TV, on the Roku, Apple TV. Oh my God, what else? Xbox, PlayStation, pretty much anything you already own.
Your old NES.
Yeah, anything. You can
Game
stream
Gear.
It.
Game Boy. Gosh, you name it. Hulu Plus on the Game Gear is an experience.
That's an experience unlike any other.
Did you own a Game Gear?
I did own a Game Gear.
Did you have the TV tuner?
I did not. They had a TV tuner for that?
Oh, yeah. I never had it. I was super jealous of people on field trips that did. I had a Game Gear. Played some Mortal Kombat. Played some Madden.
You play Joe Montana Sports Talk Football?
I didn't, but I heard about a hack that I never knew about with that game.
Yeah?
Apparently, if you call a fake punt, it's an unguardable play, like on every down.
I believe Mama H got rid of the Game Gear. If she didn't,
really?
I'd crack it out right now and give that thing a try.
It's great. It's like the size of like a Thanksgiving turkey. It's enormous.
Yeah.
It's great. I love the Game Gear.
Well, we'll have to get one.
The speakers were like the least you could define something as being a speaker, but
right.
Still have it be a speaker. So like playing like Madden would be like, yeah, it was great.
All right. What else we got here? You can watch it on your phone, iPad.
Yes.
While on the train, at work, in the bathroom. It also says at the dentist.
You know what, Ty? I watch a lot of things in the bathroom. If we're going to real talk here. You watch things in the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
You have an iPad?
I do have an iPad, yeah.
Full size or mini?
Full size.
I have the mini, and it's very, it's compact, able to be transported into many rooms.
There you go.
Yeah.
Access to Hulu originals that you can't get anywhere else. Check out the new show, Deadbeat, a comedy about a pot-smoking guy who talks to ghosts. Okay.
Yeah? Uh-huh.
That sounds good. Binge
go
on
Ducks.
All 10 episodes. It starts on April 9th. For now, just $7.99 a month. Get your shows anytime, anywhere. That's like a quarter a day right now. You sign up at HuluPlus.com/verbal or click on the banner on our website. Get 2 weeks full access, completely free.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole extra week more than the special offer when you sign up at HuluPlus.com/verbal. So head on over there. Start streaming today at HuluPlus.com/verbal, Dan.
What do you like watching on the can?
I watched a little Cosmos on the can. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it inspire you?
I find myself so absorbed by Cosmos that I can't concentrate on other
All
things.
All of a sudden, you've been sitting on the toilet for 51 minutes?
It's like, what happened? Yeah.
Yeah. I watched, I had never seen, there's always, you know, everybody has these movies that are classic movies that they haven't seen. I was watching, it was a competitor, I must admit. I was watching on Netflix, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Had never seen it. And I'm a big fan of Steve Martin and John Candy. Had a couple real good laughs sitting there on the can.
We've got a bunch of Facebook questions here. I want to start with one from a gentleman by the name of Sam.
Okay.
Who asked a very difficult question. I have strong opinions on this.
Yeah, I whittled this one down too. Continue.
We picked some of our favorites. This one from Sam. Mm-hmm. If you had a daughter, which college football player would you like for her to bring home to meet? It can be recent or all time. All right, Dan. First and foremost, if you had a daughter, would you want her to bring a college football player home?
If it were from this very specific position group, I would not mind.
Are you going kicker?
Nope.
Are you going offensive line?
I am going offensive line.
I was going to say like backup kicker, someone who didn't get a whole lot of notoriety.
Yeah, but I feel like they might have like a small man's mentality, a little bit insecure. They like attention, but they're not getting any attention. I don't want somebody that specialized. I want them to have all around life talents. And a kicker, I just feel like there's so much focus there that maybe he ignores her.
Okay.
I feel like an offensive lineman, and I'll explain it, but continue with your line of thinking first.
My line of thinking is I don't want someone with a lot of notoriety. I don't want someone who on campus, all the cheerleaders and all the sorority sisters said, oh, that's so-and-so. If you're a backup kicker, there's a pretty good chance. The only reason most people are going to know you're on the team is if you tell them you're on the team, and they can verify it on the team website. Mm-hmm. So I don't want someone who's like the big man on campus. I don't want Johnny Manziel. I don't even want Tim Tebow. There's a lot of baggage that comes with that.
Sure.
I want someone, a relative no name, who participated with the team for love of the game. That's what I want.
With my last name, I don't think Tim Tebow's dating my daughter. So
no, probably not. Probably not. That's my line of thinking.
My general thought is offensive line, one, protective instinct. Their job, they practice protection at all times.
I see where you're going with this.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, the difference between offensive linemen and defensive linemen is defensive linemen have a certain bit of aggression that offensive linemen may not have, even though we see a lot of aggressive offensive linemen. Some people are just more suited for the defensive line. Offensive linemen also tend to grow up as bigger humans, which forces them to be a little bit more charming, funny, smart, sensitive. I feel like they are probably a little bit more well-rounded, where they just can't get by on being naturally thin and athletic and muscular, where they really have to hone a personality. They're not getting the attention, perhaps, on campus that a receiver or a safety or a quarterback, like you mentioned, is getting. They're just like a bigger dude, you know, maybe like a gentle giant that starts. So you want somebody successful with a good work ethic, but not somebody who is, you know, going to New York or Florida or whatever for the Outland Trophy ceremony. Someone like that, like a very good right guard who is a very good student who is going to go into a successful trade and work hard and be disciplined and take care of Darla Rubenstein.
Darla Rubenstein.
Yeah, I don't know a name. Yeah,
that was good. Good off the top of your head. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think we're of similar mindset there.
Good.
Let's move on. Let's go to John, another college football question here. This is a good one. I love this question for a multitude of reasons.
Okay.
Very simply, how long into the season before we start complaining about the playoff selection committee and who they might be picking?
Yeah.
Dan, it's already started.
Yeah, I mean, people have already started complaining about the members and the system a little bit. I don't think they're releasing their thoughts or rankings or polls until a little bit into the season, much like the BCS has done these past few years.
Right.
But I could see, I mean, you know, SB Nation, we did a selection committee show last year discussing who the best four teams would be if there were a playoff last year. Now there actually will be one. So I imagine the second, the nanosecond, the minute after week one's games are over, there will be hand-wringing and arguments about which four teams best deserve to be in. I hope they don't call it North Texas again for the national championship. That was awful. And I don't care about the feelings of people from Arlington going to Dallas. Week one is going to be, there's already going to be discussion. I imagine the first one, I want to say, comes out in October, much like the BCS is going to be. That's when you're going to start getting the personal attacks of like, why does so-and-so deserve to be on this committee? Well, why does Condoleezza?
I think it happens even before that. I mean, it's already started. We heard David Pollack's asinine comments last fall already. But
true.
All it's going to take is for one person to say something that's either taken out of context. Granted, the polling won't be released until some point a few weeks into the season.
Right.
But Condi Rice is going to say something about a team. Someone's going to get a quote from one of these committee members. and all hell's going to break loose.
Mm-hmm.
Very early on, before everyone has enough information to determine whether someone's right or wrong, that's what's going to happen. Someone's going to say something, get quoted, and then kaboom.
Kaboom. Yeah. But what are you going to do? Like, that's what college football always is. It's always argument. You look at anybody's power rankings on any site, whether it's SI or SB Nation or ESPN or whatever, there's going to be 7,000 comments calling people dumb and calling each other dumb and calling people stupid. And that's what college football is.
Would you rather pick four teams or two? That's my question.
Four.
I would rather pick four. I think you've got a better chance of getting it correct in terms of picking at least the best four to compete for that title. You've always got a higher probability with four than two. That's all I need to know.
Yeah. Although, I mean, the Pinstripe Bowl only picked two, and they picked the best two they could. So that was fine.
Oh, look at you.
Pinstripe Bowl champions forever and ever.
Let's go to Jeremy with another college football question. Any chance you guys see Connor Cook as a dark horse to be the best quarterback in the Big Ten? Look, I'm all in on Connor Cook. I believe
it's true.
I made a comment. I'm calling him C squared because we're on a first name or a nickname basis. I believe I made the old dark horse Heisman contender comment a few months back for Connor Cook.
Right.
So I'm all in on Connor Cook.
To me, probably won't have the best season in the Big Ten, but certainly has the weapons with what they have coming back on offense. The defense, it won't probably be as good as they were last season. We'll know pretty early on because I expect the Oregon defense to be pretty good this year. And I believe Michigan State goes to Autzen week two of the season. So Connor Cook, I expect to have a good to very good year after what he was able to show last year as a first year starter and winning the Rose Bowl. But I think at this point, Braxton Miller's ceiling is higher. I think Christian Hackenberg is probably more talented, but I really like Connor Cook. I'm trying to think of anybody else that jumps out to me as having the potential to have a huge season. I definitely think he'll have the best season of anybody in the state of Michigan.
No, for sure.
Worried about the Nebraska quarterback situation. C.J. Brown's getting his 14th year at Maryland, so that's always fun for him. He'll have a better year than somebody at Rutgers. He will... You know, Indiana, Minnesota.
Penn State's got a quarterback.
Illinois. That's what I meant. Christian Hackenberg is a more talented pure quarterback than Connor Cook. But I don't know if he has the weapons and offensive line depth. Certainly after losing Allen Robinson, it's going to be much more of a challenge. And a new coach, a new system, et cetera.
Allen Robinson, who had a huge pro day, made himself some money a few days
Good.
Ago. I want to move to another college football question.
Okay.
That I read it the first time through, and I thought to myself, that's kind of a silly question.
Right.
Upon reading it and rereading it and rereading it again, this may honestly be one of the more thoughtful questions we've ever received here on the Solid Verbal.
Wow, big words.
This one comes to us from Brian. It's all the way at the bottom of your list, Dan.
Okay, I'm skipping down. There it is.
He says, I want to ask a weather-related question.
We both like weather.
I believe people up north have a skewed view of the cold. I have lived in Florida my entire life, and my northern family and friends like to point out how uncomfortable Floridians are in the cold. However, what is never discussed is how uncomfortable northerners are in the heat. For some reason, you're only a wuss if the cold bothers you, but you somehow get a pass if it's too hot. Why is that? You don't hear Floridians, dying of cold stroke in the winter, but you do hear northerners dying of heat stroke in the summer. My question to you is this. Do you believe it's more difficult for a northern team to play at a southern school in the heat of early September or for a southern team to play at a northern school in the cold of late November? That is a very well-written question.
Yeah.
A well-thought-out answer. Now, I come from a cold weather place. I come from a place where what we had this past winter is not all that uncommon. You, on the other hand, come from the tropics of Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it took you a little bit of getting used to when you moved cross country to New York City. So let me start with you, Daniel.
Right.
What is your stance on this matter?
I think there are a ton of variables, especially as teams are recruiting a lot more nationally now. So, for instance, you know, even though I'll give the example I know best, Oregon has a bunch of kids from Texas and Florida and California and stuff, even though it's a colder place, where kids are used to playing in warmer environs, and the adjustment is probably not significant, but an adjustment. But the big thing is, to me, in this specific question, is the humidity factor and what style of offense and defense you're playing and what your opponent is playing. Because a no-huddle, a slower playing team, like let's say if I'm trying to think of a slower team in the Big Ten, like Michigan went down and played Auburn, I think that would be super problematic, especially because Michigan recruits a ton in the Midwest. They have the humidity factor, but in the fall and they're practicing and they're used to a certain temperature outside, and then playing at the pace that Auburn dictates in that sort of heat, if it is humid, it poses a great challenge, certainly. But I'm not sure that Northerners necessarily struggle going to more southern or to warmer temperatures. But I think it could be, depending on style of play, right, more of a factor, right, going from warm to cold, to me. But the exhaustion factor, if it is a no-huddle situation and it's humid and it's, you know, playing in Gainesville or Columbia or one of those places when it is 91% humidity outside, I think that's a lot tougher.
It is the humidity that gets you. You don't deal a lot with that west of the Mississippi, certainly in the Southwest, but obviously in our neck of the woods, Dan, it gets pretty hot and soupy. In Florida, right, it's a hell of a lot worse than it is up here. So to answer his question, the heat of early September is, I think, a wash for most parties.
Well, and these guys train, like Ohio State and Minnesota, these places are warm during the summer.
They're
sticky and gross.
They're very humid, yeah. So that's why I'm saying I think it's a bit of a wash there. I think ultimately if it's a northern school or a cold weather school, going to a place like Southern California where there's no humidity,
right,
to play in that heat might be a bit of an adjustment, but I don't think it's the kind of thing that's really going to throw up any alarms. Obviously, you go to a more humid area, kind of like you said, it may depend on pace of play. I even question to some degree the cold. When it's not extreme cold,
right,
and it's just like 32 degrees, which certainly isn't Florida, but
right,
obviously isn't the kind of thing that is going to make national news, I wonder how much of an effect that really has. You still see guys out there with short sleeves, even in temperatures that are much, much colder than that. So
it gets chilly in the South. It gets cold. Like if you grew up playing high school football in Texas, it gets cold Friday nights in November. That's not warm.
I think
these guys are used to playing in colder temperatures.
I think it's largely overblown. And unless you're dealing with one of the extremes, either really hot or really cold, it may not be as difficult as you might think. That said, let me throw in an important disclaimer.
Yeah.
The extent of my football playing comes from what I've done on NCAA and Madden. So we need someone who's actually played the game to come in here perhaps and give us some of their insight about changing climates. But as far as I'm concerned, I've seen it happen all too often where, there's a warm weather school going to a cold weather school, and the warm weather school still wins. All right, let's move on here. Let's go to another college football question. Andy writing in. If you were given the keys to college football and told whatever solution you had for the issue of unionization, player compensation, Ed O'Bannon, whatever, would be adopted, what would your revamp system look like and why? I have a very specific idea for this, Dan. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, my keys are generally going to lead me to some sort of Olympic, let players make money off of their image.
Yes, yes.
You know, if Johnny Manziel wants to create a Nike logo like Roger Federer and, you know, RG3 now has, great. Sell a bunch of shirts. You've built your name up. That's fantastic. I would definitely increase and find a way to increase for like the full price of admission. You know, these guys are getting room and board and obviously an academic scholarship, but increase that to include money to travel home and to eat. And if you have to wear a suit to a function, that's covered, and just spending money so you can live comfortably off of the money you're helping to generate. I don't think necessarily it's like, let's pay every player $100,000 and that is the level. I mean, players need to live comfortably for helping to generate the revenue that they do. They should live a comfortable life beyond the academics that they should take advantage of, but don't always do. They should be able to travel. They should be able to look nice. They should be able to eat well. They should be able to rent a comfortable apartment.
I agree. And that was going to be my exact thought on the matter. I think that we are coming to a place now in college athletics where there will be, for better or worse, more attention paid to the notion that schools should pay players. We've been getting closer and closer to that. I think the obvious and most practical way to skirt that is to have other people pay the players, let them profit off the name. Mm-hmm. Because if you let schools start paying players, it is going to price some smaller programs right out of the market. I don't think that's really the intention here. Right. I think if you let people, the ones who are profitable, the ones who have a brand to sell, I think if you let them sell their likeness, all of a sudden you'll shut a lot of people up and you'll still put yourself in a position where it looks like you're forward thinking. So to me, the Olympic model seems like the right course of action.
I've got good news to jump on what you just said.
Yeah.
Smaller schools are already priced out of college football because that's how it's been working for decades and decades.
Well, this is true. This is true. Very true. And we did get another question from someone who asked about the playoff system.
Yes.
And whether or not these quote unquote BCS busters would at all have a stake in the game. I don't know if it's easier or harder. I think maybe harder for those schools to now get their hat in the ring. But certainly if you introduce something like this where money is involved on any level, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work in their favor. Boise does not have as much money to throw at high school, at college football players, as a school like in Alabama where it is currency.
And by throwing them at players, you mean investing in their facilities.
Right, of course.
Yeah, it's easier and harder. I think this is why we're moving to a model where we're just going to have a bunch of, you know, we'll have four or five conferences play that can end in getting a berth into a playoff, and then the rest will go to some other system where it's just an unequal, inequitable thing, as college football has sort of unofficially been for a long time. But that's why I think things are breaking the way they're breaking. It will be easier for smaller schools within that system to go to a national championship. Like, say, if Boise State joins the Big 12 in 5 years or something like that, a super Big 12, certainly will be easier for Boise State to go. But when more and more and more money is on the line, at least until the college football bubble bursts, you're not going to see the SEC or the ACC or the Pac-12. Oh, probably the Pac-12. They like rolling over because they're run terribly inefficiently. They're not going to want to allow a UCF or a Boise State or a Northern Illinois into or onto the biggest stage that there has ever been in college football financially and in terms of attention. So easier if you are a team like Boise State or TCU that was right on the fringe, that they're slowly going to bigger conferences. TCU certainly not the marquee name that Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State are, but things are being made much easier for them if they can get into a big conference.
Yeah, and if you're like the Arkansas State Red Wolves, forget it.
Yeah.
You're pretty much already priced out of the market. Two more questions here before we get to some of the other oddities that we got. We'll start with Curtis, who asked the very question now, do they need to further subdivide Division I? We are getting to a point where I think that's going to become necessary, and it sucks for teams that find themselves sort of in that limbo where they're big enough to get national recognition, they're big enough to go to decent mid-range bowl games, but unfortunately, given the way the market is, you're not good enough to be considered seriously for a national championship. And ultimately, when stuff starts going down, you're going to be left out on the curb.
I mean, I don't know how to respond more so than we just did.
Well, let's go here. I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
From Mitch, and then we'll move on. What team are you really high on that will probably not begin the season ranked?
That's a good question.
I like Iowa State. You know, I was convinced from our discussion previously.
Right.
Iowa State, when we talked to Jake Trotter, it was a team that he was pretty high on.
Mm-hmm.
He liked the addition of Mark Mangino coming in. It's an interesting story. We already like Paul Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
There's some talent to work with there. Let's go Iowa State. I don't know if they're a top 25 team at the end of the season, but if they make strides the way Mark Mangino is capable of making strides, then it wouldn't be out of the question for them to be in the top 25.
Is Notre Dame starting the season a top 25 team?
I think so.
Right there, like 19-ish,
yeah,
somewhere in there.
Yeah, I feel like they're in the 15 to 20 range. Do you like Notre Dame?
Yeah, well, I mean, getting the quarterback back is a big deal. The turnover that they'd have on defense, I'm not a huge, you know, Prince Shembo and Stephon Tuitt obviously have been sort of cornerstones of that front seven for a long time, but they've recruited well. I'm very curious to see what's his name? The five-star kid from a couple years ago, Jalen Smith?
Jalen Smith, yeah. He played last year. He had a great first season.
Curious to see the kind of step he takes in sort of owning that defense. But, I feel like they could be a game better this year, probably, than they were last year. That sounds reasonable to me. Was bullish on North Carolina until I saw their schedule.
Yeah, it's a murderer's row.
It's a tough schedule. I am somewhat optimistic about Arizona if they can figure out the quarterback position, just because Rich Rod has had such a great run of getting a ton of productivity. BJ Denker, we were not big on at all. A lot of people were not big on at all going into last year, and he improved terrifically over the course of the season. And they've got talent, young talent at quarterback at Arizona. I don't know if Washington's going to start the season ranked, just because they lose a little bit, and obviously the coaching turnover affects how things are run year to year. But if Siler Miles is the starter and he comes back and is not suspended for 8 games or something, and I don't know what his status is at the moment, they lose a couple of key pieces on offense in Bishop Sankey and Austin Seferian Jenkins. But with that coach, with how well they've recruited on both sides of the ball, Shaq Thompson is probably one of the top 5 athletes in the Pac-12, and they've been using him on defense and on offense this spring. So they certainly have pieces to hang with anybody. And now that they have an actual top level coach, I think they're worth fearing and could finish the season as a top 12 or 14 team. So I'll say Washington. I'm trying to think of a team in another. Oh, Kansas State, I think, could start the season outside the top 25. And I just think, you know, every 2 or 3 years, they're just going to go 10-2 and, you know,
this could be the year,
beat 3 teams that are more talented than they are.
All right, let's move on.
So Kansas State and Washington, the purple teams.
Let's move on. We've got 2 questions here, Dan.
Yes.
One says, would Ty's fiance be willing to guest star on an episode? The world needs to know the softer side of the mysterious Mr. Hildenbrandt. We've also got one here that says, will the fiance ever make an appearance on the podcast to quote-unquote meet the family? Dan, I have important news.
I'm sitting down.
The fiance is here. The fiance is not only here, she's in studio. She's going to answer some of these life questions with us.
Does she have a name, or are we giving her an anonymous name?
No, Dan, she does not have an anonymous name. I am very pleased to welcome the, should we call her the Solid Verbal Fiance?
I think so, yeah.
Kate.
Because I certainly don't have one.
Kate to the program. We had a Katie before. This is Kate. Hello, Kate. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good.
This is your first podcast appearance, is it not?
Ever. Ever.
Are you speaking into the same microphone?
Yes.
She asked for her own microphone. I said she'd need at least a few more podcast appearances before I was willing to do that. You know, she's got to earn her stripes first. Let's be clear.
So she could be the potential Yoko of the Solid Verbal.
She could be.
Oh, no.
Or she could be the greatest thing to ever happen to this show.
Yes.
It's one or the other. All right.
And I have somewhere between 3 and 36 questions myself for Kate about her life.
I'm ready.
With you. Yes.
Am I too quiet?
No, you're good.
No, you sound great.
Okay, good.
You're good. So I'm going to start here. This is a life advice question from a gentleman by the name of Jeremy. All right? This might be something that...
Jeremy,
yeah. He says, I'm shopping for a ring for a lovely young lady while getting ready for both of us to go back to grad school.
Mm-hmm.
As a recent engagee, what is the... Is that a word? Engagee?
It feels right.
As a recent engagee... What is the best way to purchase a ring?
Mm-hmm.
Save until you buy enough right away, or put down a down payment and take advantage of the 0% interest for a year? Dan, have you purchased your ring yet?
I have not. I have never purchased a ring for anyone, which is why I don't have a fiance.
Yeah, I went lump sum, Jeremy. That way it's not something that's on my mind. However, if you're in grad school, you've got financial commitments there. You know.
Yeah, I would say... If you're in grad school, worry about paying for grad school if somebody else isn't paying for it for you, because it feels like that's one of those things that's going to pay dividends in the future. If you're studying something and getting a degree that you can put towards having a good job and helping to support a household with your wife, your future wife. I would say worry about grad school, worry about paying for school. Get a nice ring that she likes, but not necessarily something that's going to bankrupt your future and that you have to take out loans to pay for, because I feel like any lady or fella worth his or her salt would much rather have experiences, traveling, getting a house, getting a car, buying sandwiches, rather than having, you know, your entire savings on a finger.
Well, that doesn't apply to all women, I'd say.
Luckily, no, it certainly
doesn't. Luckily, it does for the one next to me, but...
That's the way to go. So you had an idea of what she wanted, right?
I had an idea. Well, you showed me online.
I sent him one picture of one ring, and...
How far ahead of the engagement?
Oh, I was getting the full court press, man.
No, I think it
was getting a little bit of press. You can be honest.
A month or two. I sort of said, just in case, you might want to know that I like this kind of ring. And,
wow.
The ring
was
I got...
Was that in person or was that just an email?
That was in person.
Okay, fair enough.
He got a much nicer one than I sent him. So I was never much of a ring girl. I didn't dream about my ring. But
right.
Now that I have it, I've kind of changed a little bit. I kind of feel like the Hobbit a little bit. Like I kind of find myself gazing at it. And
all right.
I'm upset if I don't know where it is. And
he surprised you with the timing, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And the fact that he decided to buy it, you know, that he decided to say.
Showing a lot of faith in
it. Oh, yeah. True. Yeah.
But definitely surprised. But I would say you can never go wrong with zero interest, right?
No.
That you can never, I mean, I have no idea. But yeah. I'm going to ask you this, and I have to ask this. You hear reporters saying this, and I'm certainly not a reporter.
Right.
Are you positive that Ty is the best offer you're going to get before signing day?
I am.
You're
if
positive.
Not the best, then he's my favorite.
Okay, good. No more official visits.
That's a vote of confidence right there.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Pretty happy.
I'm going to need some background on Kate.
Okay.
Okay, so we're talking about a Lehigh graduate.
Yes, I graduated from Lehigh.
How much younger than our friend Tyler?
5 whole years.
5 years younger. Was that at all a roadblock or a wall for you when considering Ty as a potential suitor?
It was a surprise. He looks much younger.
That is true.
32, so, but no, not a roadblock.
And a lot more Asian, right?
I did once tell him he was at my upper limit.
So have you dated somebody older than Ty? And
never.
Is that why you have that limit?
No.
Okay. I'm the creepy old man, is what she's saying.
The creepy old man. And I just need to confirm, because Ty did reveal what began as a social outing that ended with you guys actually, it's qualified as a date. Red Robin and Inception?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I heard you guys, I did listen to a show once or twice.
Nice.
And I heard you guys talk about it. We were definitely going to Inception and we stopped by Red Robin for drinks, maybe 2 or 3, which was a really bad idea before Inception. And
yeah.
We kind of embarrassed ourselves because for months we said, that movie was just terrible, you know?
Right.
Don't see it. It's awful. It's really bad.
We got
bad.
The room spinning. We got buildings coming out of the floor. What is going on with this movie?
What on earth happened there? But then I saw it again and I said, wow, that's a good one. We made a mistake.
I've never met you. I've seen pictures. Mm-hmm. You appear to be quite lovely. You're a smaller human.
Yeah.
You're not like a little person, but you're a very slim person.
I don't qualify as a midget.
Right. How tall are you, by the way?
I am 5'2" plus.
Okay. The 5'2" plus. 5'2" and change, as they say.
Never quite hit 5'3".
Would you, because I know Ty is not a lightweight at all in terms of his drinking. Are you a lightweight?
I'm a lighter weight
than Ty.
Right. I'm trying to picture what Ty did to you to get you drunk. Like, how much does it take if you're going to drink at Red Robin before Inception?
In between 2 and 3 drinks.
Okay.
Dan, she could go heads up with you then.
Oh, absolutely. No, she'd probably drink me under the table. And how long did you date before the engagement?
Three years and a half.
Yeah, 3 and a half.
3 and change, 5'2" and change, 3 years and change. Okay. I think that's a reasonable amount of time. Ty and I have had a thing a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah. You have.
We happen to be the longest active relationships that we have in each other's lives.
Outside of family, that's about right.
Yeah. But 3.5 years, I feel like, is a good enough amount of time to gauge somebody. And you're not, you know, the marriage, the wedding isn't until next year.
Correct. Yep.
You a little bit nervous, Ty, about what I'm going to ask?
Just a little bit nervous, not going to lie. A little bit nervous here. Yeah. I was actually going to spin this off into one of the other questions we got.
Oh, please do.
This is something that I figured you might ask, Dan.
Yeah.
A gentleman by the name of Jake wants to know what our thoughts are on dating coworkers.
Mm.
What are your thoughts?
Kate, what are your thoughts on dating coworkers? Because that's sort of how this whole thing started.
Right. Well, Ty and I work at the same company.
Yep.
However, we've never actually worked together.
The mysterious day job. So we're
mysterious day job.
CIA agents.
Red Robin waiter and waitresses. Sure.
Never working together on the same case, but.
Right. So our place of work has multiple buildings, and I don't work in the same building as Ty. However, we do work for the same company.
At any point, could it have been described as scandalous?
I wish. No, I think that...
I wish? What does that mean?
There were no whispers like, is Ty and Kate, is that a thing?
I'm not saying there wasn't gossip.
What was like, how did you become acquaintances?
There are a lot of young people at this mystery company. And so we met outside of work.
What is Ty's reputation at this company?
You know, when I first saw Ty, I was walking to the cafeteria and I said hello to him and he did not say hello back.
Wow. Well, he's a big timer.
So I would say his reputation was unfriendly.
Wow.
Throwing me under the bus here.
Boom. Did you find him attractive though when you first saw him? You're like, oh, look at this guy.
I did, yeah, but I wasn't single at that point.
Oh. Wait a minute.
It wasn't until later that I met Ty as a single girl.
Okay, yep. But you were friends when you weren't single?
No.
At any point? Or no, not really?
No, not really.
Okay.
We had mutual friends, and once I was on the market, they set us up, kind of, maybe.
Yeah, mutual friends?
Yeah. But
really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who is more ambivalent about this setup?
Tyler was.
Now, you call
shy.
Him Tyler.
No, I call him Ty. Every once in a while.
When she's serious, she goes Tyler.
Yeah.
Kind of like my mom, which is a little weird for me. But
that's you're the one saying it, not me.
Yeah, I'm still dealing with that. But yeah, probably me.
Ty's what do you call it, strategy was total avoidance.
Are you a pickier eater than Ty? Are you a more well-rounded eater than Ty?
I'm much more adventurous, and I think
good.
That I have
he needs
maybe
more of that in his life.
Expanded his horizons a little bit, maybe.
Have you noticed Ty getting in better shape recently?
Well, we started running last year.
Well, Ty is claiming that he is healthier than ever, is exercising more than ever, is more health conscious than ever. And he pointed out, he indicated on the show, in front of the tens of thousands of people that listen to this show,
oh, good Lord,
that he's maybe not getting as much positive feedback from you as he expected.
That is not true.
Well, that's what he claims.
When we started dating, we used to eat and drink whatever we wanted.
Right.
But we're getting older.
True.
And I think we're doing better. And I think he looks great.
Would you say this is the greatest Ty has ever looked?
The greatest. This is the pinnacle of Ty.
Okay. You mind the gray hair?
Does he have gray hair?
I have a little salt and pepper going on over
salt
here.
Salt and pepper.
I'm finding out all sorts of things. All right,
you,
fair
you're
enough.
You're taking notes on this too, aren't you, Dan?
I am. I'm just looking forward to this future cohabitation. Have you lived with a significant other before?
No, I haven't.
Has Ty?
No.
All right.
Yeah.
No.
You guys ever cook together?
Yes.
Yeah,
I cook more than Ty, but neither of us are experts. But he has sort of had adventures in the kitchen.
Kitchen nightmares.
He made me a Valentine's Day dinner this year.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, grilled up a little shrimp.
That's right. Shrimp on the Barbie, Dan.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. We talked about the engagement, but that's, you know, there's a lot more beyond than the engagement when you talk about a life together, a loving life together.
Yes.
3.5 years right now. We're talking about hopefully many, 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 many decades to come. Would you consider Ty to be a romantic?
A romantic. Sometimes, sure. Yeah.
Is he? Sometimes. Could he be more thoughtful? Is that what you're saying?
I give her the free Sherry's berries. I don't know what
that's
more
not
she
good
wants.
Enough.
I was going to say my flowers this thing, not Thanksgiving, my flowers this Valentine's Day were definitely pro flowers. He
when
said,
you
hey,
go
they
out
showed
at night,
up at my door. You
when you go
home?
Out at night. Okay, the pro flowers thing is nice, but it's a sponsor.
Exactly.
Let's
that's
say.
What I'm
let's say in 3 weeks, Ty's like, I'm going to pick you up and we're going to go eat Italian food and we're going to go see a movie.
Okay.
When Ty picks you up on his steed, whatever.
In my horse and carriage.
Right. In his horse and carriage. When he greets you at the door, will he say something like, oh, you look really great. I really like that.
Yes.
He will be complimentary.
Yes.
And a sweet guy, a general mensch, as my people like to say.
You look beautiful.
Does he ever say anything like, damn, girl, damn, shawty? Nothing? I'm banging tonight. You look great.
No, he doesn't do that.
Okay, well, Ty, come on. You got to get creative with it.
Every now and again, I'll try to sing a little R. Kelly.
It's not a good idea. It hasn't been a great few months for R.
Lately, just because it's been warming up, like today in the car ride over here, I try to go a little Nelly, like hot in here. Yeah. So take now.
Please don't ever do that again.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Yeah. It didn't work out very well. She told me immediately to stop. So
stop it. I'm gonna flip this because we don't live on one way streets.
Right.
Ty, do you feel like she is giving you the compliments, the attention? Because the last time I asked, you said, you know, she really hasn't gone out of her way to tell me I look great. Do you feel like she is noticing your toned physique?
I think so.
I tell him he's beautiful, breathtaking.
Breathtaking. There you
breathtaking.
Go. No, I think it's evidence enough that she hasn't really thrown me under the buns.
Well, listen, that's...
She hasn't thrown me under the bus once here, despite your line of questioning, Dan.
What's Ty's greatest physical feature?
I've never had an answer to this
one. He has an amazing button nose.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm really glad you said
like Frosty the Snowman?
For real, though, he's got a great head of hair. Have you ever seen it?
He does. He has a fantastic head of hair.
It's really good. It's got
the Hildebrand Colarusso.
I'm blushing over here.
Follicle.
Yeah. I'm blushing. You can't see me in a non-visual medium.
Jet black.
Yeah. No, he's got a great head of hair. That's a good answer. I would say the same thing.
I hope this has been illuminating.
More questions. You get along well with the family?
Yes.
You can tell me if not.
No.
It's cool.
I was just chatting with Mama Hildebrand. Maybe one day we'll both be on the show together. But we are thick as thieves.
All right. If you attend a wedding together, who is more likely to want to be out on the dance floor really dropping it?
We both like the dance floor, but only Ty does the air piano at a wedding.
Right.
It's my go-to move, Dan. Okay.
Much like an
move.
Air guitar, but a little nerdier.
This is the most Caucasian segment. Yeah.
Everyone goes air guitar. If you go piano, that mixes it up a little bit. And you don't risk shoulder injury, which for me is now a concern. Let's be honest.
It is quite a sight.
So let's spin this back to college football now, Kate. You are a Lehigh grad.
Yes.
What are your opinions of the Lafayette Leopards?
The Lafayette. First of all, it's Lafayette, isn't it?
Maybe. I don't know.
Whatever.
Be careful. I'm Lafayette stock.
I know. I saw, what was it? That Lafayette blanket on your couch, Dan Rubenstein.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I wasn't happy about that.
See, here's my whole thing. I root for winners.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, otherwise, I'd love to root for Lehigh.
Yeah, right. Thank you. I guess Lafayette is the record holder, right? They're winning that rivalry.
Sure.
However, I can't allow that kind of talk. Both my brothers played football, and so you can imagine I'm at home here in this room full of Notre Dame paraphernalia, but I was the black sheep, and so I am not actually a huge follower.
So here's what we're going to do then to close things out. We've asked you a bunch of personal questions.
I've got one more.
We've got a bunch of other stuff here. Dan's going to ask you one more, and then we're going to give you a brief football quiz. All right?
You ever catch ladies checking Tie out?
Yeah. Can I tell
really?
The story?
Please.
We were at a certain grocery store that you might have visited when you're in the area that now has a pub. Wegmans pub.
We can say Wegmans. Ty's very much pro Wegmans.
We're both pro Wegmans.
Yeah.
And so they have a pub and we tried it out for the first time and the waitress was hitting on Ty.
Ooh, how so?
Well, we bought a 6-pack, which you can do at Wegmans, and brought it into the restaurant. And he mentioned to her that, no, I don't need a beer because we got the 6-pack here and, you know, I'm just going to drink from it. And she's like, wow, that's really smart. And we're like, why? And she's like, well, you know, it saves you money and, you know, you must be like a business major. Do you take business in college? And we're like, it's not that smart.
Right.
So definite eyes for Ty there. And
really?
It happens every once in a while.
Was she good looking?
Yeah, she's cute. Yeah.
Ty, did you even realize you were being hit on?
I had no idea.
He had no idea. We were in the car, and I was like, geez, that girl. And he was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, she thought you were a genius because you bought a six-pack.
Yeah.
The ladies do not leave Ty alone, in my experience. Southern California, Miami, South Beach. you're talking about girls throwing themselves physically at our vehicle. And they're just... Yeah, it's insane. Ty does really well on the coast.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Terrific. I'm sure he's...
Not really well in acting, but people make it clear that if there wasn't a Kate, that there would be
somebody else.
There would be a time to be had. And Ty is a very faithful man.
This is true. This is true. All right. Football quiz time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
This is going to be bad.
Yeah. This is intended to be bad.
Do you have the questions or do you want me to...
We're gonna go back and forth, Dan. Okay.
Gotcha.
We'll start out easy. What is the mascot for Notre Dame?
The Irishman, the Fighting Irish.
The Fighting Irish. Ding. We'll give you.
That's ding. Correct.
Go ahead,
Dan. Who won the two? Who won the last national championship played this year? This past year.
Which was in California.
It was in California.
Correct.
Florida State.
Yeah.
That's
there
correct.
You go.
That is the answer.
What is the mascot for Ohio State?
Ohio State?
Yeah.
Is it a large cat of some sort?
A large cat of some sort. Not a bad guess, though. What is the answer, Daniel?
It's a Buckeye.
The Buckeyes. There you go.
That's correct.
Mama Hildenbrandt coming in now giving answers. This is getting out of hand here. All right. Go ahead, Dan. Any others?
Yeah, Kate, where did I go to school?
You went to school at Oregon. Oregon?
That's correct.
Okay. The Ducks.
The University of Oregon.
What conference is Oregon in?
Pacific.
It's right there. Pac-12.
Pacific, sure. Is there more to it?
Pacific 12, the Pac-12.
The Pac-12.
That's correct.
When did Ty peak athletically?
Right before he lost his shoulder.
Incorrect. The correct answer is as a 14-year-old.
As a 14-year-old.
Probably peaked then,
okay.
Yeah. I will give you...
I don't have anything else.
I'll give you one more, Katie.
Okay.
All right.
Katie, look at this.
We'll go Katie here on the Solid Verbal. Ooh, wow. Again, solidverbal@gmail.com. Facebook,
steamy
fan cred, Twitter. You know
Tyler
drill.
And Katie.
We're sitting in a tree over here. Final question for you.
Yes.
College football question.
I'm ready.
What is the name of the venue that hosted the national championship last year?
It was in California, right?
It was in California.
Discovery Zone.
Any ideas?
Was it the Rose Bowl?
The Rose Bowl. You got it.
That's correct.
Pretty well. All right.
What is the Rose Bowl?
Very good.
That's great. That's not bad.
Thank all you. Right.
That's not bad.
Well, you've acquitted yourself well, Katie.
Thank you.
You didn't say anything too scandalous here, which I appreciate.
Good. Good.
Well, yeah. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
It was an absolute pleasure, Katie.
All right. Well, did you get enough, I don't know, gritty detail on me?
There is never enough gritty detail, but for today, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, big thanks to all of our respondents who sent us Facebook comments, who sent us emails. Try to get to as many as we could. Never are we able to read all of them just because of time constraints, but we've got a few in the holster here that we can pull out at some point in the very near future. One more time, it's solidverbal@gmail.com. Also, Facebook Fan Cred and on Twitter. If you like what we're doing all offseason, please head on out to iTunes and let us know what's on your mind. Let us know if you like the show. Daniel, what you got going this weekend?
A little bit of exercise. I don't know what I'm going to do actually this
weekend. Supposed
to be
very nice.
Basketball. Yeah, I'll go outside. I'll do some running. I have more apartment moving in stuff to do. Nothing too crazy. Parents are in town.
Oh.
Hanging out with Mama and Papa Rubenstein.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take them to a nice restaurant.
Yeah, I'll do that.
For that guy over there, Mr. Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty, and Kate.
Yeah.
Doing good on Allentown. Thanks again for tuning into the Solid Verbal. Catch you all in a few days. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.